Father, that's our prayer. That's how you've been leading us to inviting the family of God, your family, our nation and worldwide, to really embrace the reality of living under the incredible authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The world is waiting for our response. Father, your kingdom to manifest like it's never manifested before is waiting for our response to say, yes, Lord, yes, King, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, again, by your Holy Spirit, communicate this worldwide, communicate this to whoever, Father, that you're wanting to hear the reality of the invitation that you were sending out by your Holy Spirit to see and to move into the revelation of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we want to thank you for all your divine angelic army, your help and your messengers to go out and to be able to communicate the message of the King of Kings and to communicate that to the different families, to the different ministers, to the leaders in the body of Christ, so there can be an awakening and a response, and that we can see worldwide this mighty, mighty, credible family of yours rising up and keeping in step with the King of Kings, marching with him and seeing your kingdom come, to seeing the authority of the cross being manifested in the lives of the people of the nations. And we thank you for this. You've called us. Now we thank you that you're going to empower us, equip us, teach us how to walk and to be able to live in the reality of being with the King of Kings. This we thank you again in the name and through Jesus Christ, who's made this real to us. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 1. There's a few scriptures we're going to be just going through today. Last Sunday, it was the call of God to us to hear what he wants to make known, and that is the greater manifestation of Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we went through quite a few scriptures last Sunday, seeing the word of God that is being released to put an authority behind the call that the Holy Spirit is busy now in the body of Christ. And it's not just us here. If you hear from the Western world all over, it's a theme that is coming through about Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so it's a very now word for us. And so we began to realize there that, as I shared in the introduction earlier on, that when we get born again, we get the revelation of Christ as Savior and the glory of that that comes, and the manifestation, the presence, the reality of the atonement, the reality of forgiveness, the reality of this new life in Christ Jesus, the freedom. That's an aspect of this incredible glory that comes with the revelation of Christ as the Savior. Likewise, with Christ as, say, our teacher, there's a glory that comes with that, and the truth that flows in that manifestation of him being the teacher, he being truth. And we experience the awakening. We experience truth sets free. And there's a manifestation of that that we encounter, and we know, and it's very, very real to us. Likewise, when we get whatever truth the Holy Spirit is revealing concerning Jesus Christ, for some it might be him as the shepherd, and it's the glory that comes of being secure in him, knowing the way forwards, and we're not lost, and how he leads us, and how he protects us, and opens doors for us, and we've got a future ahead of us, and the peace that comes with that glory manifestation of him being the shepherd. So all the time, there is a revelation that the Holy Spirit reveals concerning our Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And all the time as the Holy Spirit reveals the truth found in Jesus Christ, because He's the Spirit of truth, we experience the manifestation, we experience the presence, we experience the glory of that truth. And it's, so it's tangible, so we know what we're talking about. It's not intellectual. We live in it. And so it's a very real reality for us as a body of Christ. The world doesn't know this. People in religion doesn't know this. They're stuck in words. But we who are children of God, we who have surrendered, we who have got the Holy Spirit within us and yielded to the Holy Spirit and have a love for God, we experience the truth found in Jesus Christ. He's not a doctrine. He's a person. He's the Word. He's alive. He's living. And we experience this as a reality in our lives. And likewise now with Jesus Christ, and we can go through all the different revelations that we have gone through concerning Jesus Christ, likewise now with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here is a glorious manifestation that is mind-blowing, that is so huge, that is such a word that the Spirit of God wants to make known to us concerning our King, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Teacher. There's so much that He wants us now to enter into, to live in this reality of Him being King of Kings. So we don't just talk about Christ the King of Kings. We live in it. We know it. The security, the peace, the victory, the hope, the faith, the courage, the boldness, and all that comes with this incredible revelation. But there's also the fear of God that comes within us. There's also the joy of God. There's the peace of God that comes within us. And as we start to enter into this glorious manifestation of Him being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So all the news that we hear all around us, we enter into the revelation of Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all of a sudden we start to find we have a clear perspective of things. It's no longer confused with fear and emotion and all that manifestation of what we hear. Now we're having the manifestation of Christ, the King of Kings, who leads us, who is our Redeemer, who's our Teacher, who's our Shepherd, who's our Provider, and we can carry on and on because we've been established in these truths that the Holy Spirit has been revealing concerning Jesus Christ. That's why the book of Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus in the midst, and the revelation is the revelation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you can go through all the tribulations and all these things that are taking place because we've got a revelation. We know the King of Kings. We're going through this with the King of Kings. We're going through this in the army of our Lord, who's the owner of all things. And so we're able to continue with this faith, this courage, with this resolve, with this heartbeat for the things of God. And so this is the invitation. This is what the Holy Spirit is helping us to go into. So we looked at many scriptures, and I'm not going to go through those scriptures again, but I just to do that recap. Now, so here we have in John chapter 1, because last Sunday was the call, it was the invitation. But how do we live? What has our Father provided to enable us to be able to live in the reality of Christ being King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And I'm sharing this because I know that the more insight, the more truth concerning Christ as King of Kings, that glory of Him being King of Kings, I know that the body of Christ will not be able to stand in that presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That pure, holy, awesome revelation of His glory of King and Kings is so, so powerful. And this is why our Father wants to equip us, He wants to help us so that we will be able to march together with the King of Kings. We will be able to walk together with the King of Kings. We will be able to fellowship in the revelation of Him being King of Kings and not just Him being Redeemer. part of our growth, it's part of the maturing, it's part of this army, this of God that He's busy working and helping and preparing for so much more that needs to still take place, the unfolding of the world events, that the body of Christ needs to be able to be strong in Him and His mighty power. So there's a lot that He wants to teach us. So He doesn't just give us the invitation. He also now will empower us and share what He has given to us to be able to live it out, to be able to experience, to be able to see the breakthroughs that we've been praying and longing for so long. And during the week, as I'm praying for in the context of Christ as King of Kings, I see from heaven, I see this incredible glory of God coming down to the earth realm. But it all comes down into a person, Jesus Christ. And it's all in and through Him that all the things of the Father, the fullness of the Father, all His glory only comes in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, to the world. And that is why He is truly the revelation of the Father. And this is why nothing happens outside of Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as I'm busy praying and seeing the impact and the effects of all of this, the emphasis that the Holy Spirit was emphasizing was that all of this is now in the category of His grace. And so He wants us to understand what it is to live in the realm of grace. What is this grace of God all about? His provision for us, grace. How do we live in it? How do we operate in it? What's the effect? What's the manifestation of this powerful grace of God? So that we can begin to become very conscious of it in our lives and we begin to recognize it, and it'll give us tremendous courage because that's our Father's provision for us to enable us to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to touch the people in this world. We need to know this grace. We need to know the effects of grace. For instance, in Acts, I can't remember what chapter it was now, but when Peter comes into the town and he sees there what's taking place, and it's interesting, they recognize that grace has been at work amongst this town. See, they recognize grace has already been at work. We need to see grace at work in our towns. We need to be able to recognize these things. Why do you think when you see many of the letters where Peter and Paul, when they write the letters, the grace of God be with you and the peace of God. Why are they saying that? What are we learning for us as a family of God to be able to say to the town that we're living in, the grace of God? Why? See, what does it do in shifting the atmosphere? We need to understand. We need to have a faith and to be fully persuaded that our words that carry with us, that's got the Holy Spirit's inspiration, those words start to shift atmospheres. We need to understand what our words do so that we're not moaning and complaining and speaking non-grace words. He wants to empower us and to teach us how to live with the King of Kings. So, are you ready? Are we ready? We sing that song, "We'll Ride with Him." Yeah, it's an old song. But we sang Psalm 24. Those with the pure hearts are the ones that will ride with Him. With clean hands, clean lips, etc. So there's a lot there that the Holy Spirit wants to share with us. So there's a grace over us today. God has released a grace. So as I'm praying for what I saw, and as I'm praying, I first started to pray for our own town of 1947 that God had spoken. And I'm just releasing the grace of God over the people because I know it shifts the atmosphere. I know through Christ Jesus. This grace is vital to bring people to salvation. This grace is vital to help the body of Christ to begin to be set free from deceptions and to be able to follow Jesus Christ and yield to Jesus Christ and to surrender to Him as Lord of Lords. Without His grace, we will fight. We will not surrender as Lord of Lords. But His grace enables us. So as I'm praying, suddenly it took me back to that time when asking God for our nation, what's the answer for our nation? And He showed me the center of South Africa, the reality of the cross of Jesus Christ. And then He said, now you can release this over the nation. Start to release God's grace through Jesus Christ, the grace that comes in and through Jesus Christ. Release it over the nation because this nation needs it. But what's the impact? What's the manifestation? What's the evidence that you and I will be able to see and say, we're starting to see there's a shift. We're starting to see that this grace is, this powerful grace is operating. We can see the evidence. This is what He wants to teach us so that we grow in faith. We grow in boldness. We grow in courage. And we can be able to continue to hear and to seek and know that we're part of something big because God loves the people of our nation. And we're part of that. He loves the people of our towns, of our homes. And we want to be part of that. So, as I say, the Holy Spirit will, as we go through over the, I'm not here next Sunday, the Sunday after in Cape Town. But when I come back, we're going to continue just breaking open the different facets of this incredible grace of God and how it operates and what it's for, so that we can grow in it. So in John chapter 1, I'm getting there, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it, has not overcome it. And we looked at this previously when we started to understand the reality of our words, because often we would say, oh, we just see darkness ruling, darkness ruling, darkness ruling. That's a contradiction to truth. That's a lie. And we have to repent from thinking and even saying that. We've got to start to realize, no, darkness is not ruling. Light has overcome darkness. We're in a kingdom of light. We're in the army of God. And Christ, what He has done, the power of His atonement, the power of the cross, we're here to make that known. We're here to advance that. We're here to receive the provision of God on how to receive the power of the cross and loose it and to see the impact here on this earth realm. So that's why it's a new way of thinking. It's renewing our mind. It's repenting from any other way. And now we read over here concerning Jesus. John the Baptist is testifying about the true light that gives light to every man. The true light that gives light to every man. Big words those. To every man. There's nobody, as we looked at Acts 17, there's nobody that living in the town that's living in this town, living in the town that you're living in. There's nobody working in the place there that God has not placed there for the purpose for them to find Him. Here we see once again part of us now understanding what this is all about. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own. His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. Remember, Jesus has authority over all men to give eternal life to. He has the authority to do that. And here we see, again, He gives the right for you and I to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. That's big when you meditate on that. Now, here we see in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory and the glory of the one and only who was come from the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we get back to the fact that grace is in Christ Jesus. Truth is in Christ Jesus. He is full of grace. He is full of truth. He is the full revelation. The fullness of all the grace of God is in His Son and comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. All the truth concerning God, who God is, He is truth, is made known only in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. No one else. Very important. Otherwise we can get deceived. Now we read over here, John testifies concerning Him and he cries out saying, this was He whom I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because He was before me. Now verse 16, from the fullness of His grace. This is now speaking about the Father. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. And this is all today the focus on, is for us to get established in the fact that this incredible grace that the Father releases comes in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, the fullness of this. I want to give you a definition of grace before we open the scripture a bit more. This is by a theologian, Bob Hoekstra. And he is a theologian that has been studying grace for 15 years. And he still hasn't got a definition. It's just, there's not enough words. There's not enough. It's just so, so big. So this is his latest, as he says, his latest feeble attempt to try and to put something down to try and help and things like that. And he says, grace is God's free provision for us through His Son. And grace manifests itself as we trust in the person and work of His Son by granting us all that we would need, all that we would yearn for, all that we are commanded to walk in and become. And all this is granted despite our inadequacy and the fact that we could never deserve, we could never earn, we could never produce enough merits that would earn or deserve these gifts on our own. This all comes from God. And this, if when we meditate on this, this is profound because all that God has called you and I to become and to be, God has made provision for us in this grace. Everything, whether it is whatever career, whatever it may be, whatever, everything that you and I need to be who God has written in the scrolls right in the heavens concerning our lives, our destinies, etc., everything He has provided for us in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the grace that we have received. So everything that we as the children of God need to be able to see the Great Commission, to be able to advance the kingdom of God, is provided for us in this package of grace, God's gift to you and I. There's nothing lacking. Nothing lacking. Oh, where's the finances? There's nothing lacking. Oh, I'm inadequate. There's nothing lacking. Oh, my past saying of this, there's nothing lacking what the blood of Christ has not dealt with. And so it's a renewal of the mind. It's beginning for us to be able to understand that all the provision of God comes in this incredible gift of His grace in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to realize in Romans chapter 5 that we, as because we've been justified, we have received this incredible salvation by faith, and we have now entered into this realm of grace in which we now stand. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us to understand what it means to be in this realm of grace, how to live in it. Okay, that's the journey. And much more will be shared as we go on. But here we notice here that John is writing and he says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. From the fullness of his grace. I love that word, the fullness. And we see there in Romans, grace upon grace. It's like we get the revelation of grace, and it's like a foundation for us to be able to step into the next incredible depth of grace. And as we get established in this next level, this next dimension of grace, it now forms another foundation to enable us to step into the next. It just continues. Never empty. Doesn't run out. All the provision of God is in this grace. It never runs out. There's always more. There's no lack. Oh, are we fully persuaded? See, this is what faith is, to be fully persuaded that God, your grace, whatever my need is, you say, come to the throne of grace to get help in the time of my need. It never runs out. It's all provided. There's enough. There's everything there that will empower me to be able to move forwards. Do I believe it? Or is my persuasion in the circumstances, is my persuasion in my fears, is my persuasion in all the other stuff, and it's not in the truth that is found in Christ Jesus. He, full of grace, full of truth. So these are the lessons. How are we going to march with Jesus? How are we going to live with Christ as the King of Kings when the world's falling apart, when there's a third world war, when all this is taking place? How are we going to live as this victorious body of Christ? He's giving us the answer, how to live in grace. How to live in grace. How to receive, how to appropriate grace in our lives. By faith, the gift that he's given to us to be able to appropriate this and to live in the reality of his provision. So we read over here that the law was given through Moses. Now, a question about this is, if we take the law, the law is the revelation of God's standards. The law is the revelation of God's holiness. The law gives us a revelation of his requirements, his standards, his justice, his holiness, the ways of God. So we see that all given in the law. But the law requires perfection, but does not give perfection. And that's important. So we have the law that's demanding us to be perfect, that's demanding us to be righteous, demanding us to live at this incredible standards of God. But all the time we're falling short of that. It's impossible. So it doesn't give us the perfection that it demands. Only Christ Jesus does this. And so that is why we see with the law, it leads us, it makes us aware of our sinfulness, it makes us aware that we're falling short, it makes us aware that we lie, we steal, it makes us aware that if we just think about something, it's classified as adultery or murder, it makes us aware of these things, and we become very, very conscious that we cannot fulfill that law. We fall short of that glorious requirement of God. And so God in his incredible love, that's why the gospel, that's why the good news of his son Jesus Christ is so important. So here we have Jesus Christ as a man who comes, and only he fulfills that perfect requirement. Only he keeps the perfection of God's law. Only he can walk in the ways that law demands. Nobody else can. And this is why grace comes through Christ. Because Christ Jesus did everything that you and I could not have done. The demand of perfection, we fall short. Christ lived a perfect life without sin. So here we have this incredible revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He has paid the price. He has done it for us. So the grace comes through Him. Everything that you and I need to be able to live for the glory of God is in Christ, because He did it for us. We receive that. This is why we spoke some time back what it means to be in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in this town? We buy stuff in this town. We live according to this town. We live in the environment of this town. We breathe the atmosphere of this town. What does it mean to be in Christ? We live according to the life of Christ. We live according to the atmosphere of Christ. We live according to the life of the Spirit. We live according to what He has done. That's our life. That's where we live. We live in Him. We move in Him. We have our being in Him. And so we're learning now to be able to realize that we've been set apart. We're no longer part of this world. We're in a kingdom of light. And now we're learning now, okay, Christ Jesus, You lived the perfect life that we could not live. So it's this fullness, this incredible fullness of God, all the blessings that we see there in Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be God. We praise God because we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. All of that is all the provision that comes in His Son Jesus. It's called grace. He did it for us. We did not deserve that. And we now be able to receive this by faith as the Holy Spirit begins to open up truths concerning what Christ has done and the provision of God for mankind. And now we'll be able to walk in the name of Jesus, who has sent us. As the Father has sent me, so I've sent you. The Great Commission, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The Great Commission is given by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And that's why we can go out, because He, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has commissioned you and I to go and make disciples of all nations. Who will ride with me? Jesus says. Let's go on the white horses as we go with Him there. So we notice here that everything. A few scriptures. Let me just read a few scriptures over here. In the one in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. Meditate on that. Go and ponder on this. That you and I, now because the gift of faith that God gave us, we were fully persuaded about our Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done, and we've entered into this incredible grace in which we now stand. Just meditate on the fact that this is all of God and we now have access into this grace in which we now stand. Just meditate on that we have access into all the provision God gives to you and I to be able to live the full life that He's called us to live. Just meditate on that. Then we can say no to the feeling of inadequate. Then we can say no to this feeling of, no, I'm not good enough. We can say no to all of that, because that's our baggage that we're carrying on. But when we renew our truth that in Christ all the provision is made for us to be able to live this new life in Him, it does something to the body of Christ. It does something to us. There's a boldness, there's a faith that grows. There's a determination that grabs a person's heart when we start to really experience the glory of the truth found in Christ Jesus. The glory is a manifestation, it's a reality, it's tangible, it's the weight of that truth that we enter and begin to experience it. So we read over here, by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And so we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. And we carry on and we see here concerning the law that it, you can read that in Romans 5 as well as Romans 6. But we read here in Romans 6 verse 14. When we pray, when we release God's grace, when we understand the provision of God when it comes to grace, one of the greatest provisions that God has given to us in this grace is to enable us not to be a slave to sin, but it empowers us to be a slave to righteousness. Now just imagine when you're praying and the Holy Spirit says, now release grace. Just imagine you're releasing grace over a town. God's provision to empower people to be set free from the power of sin and to begin to live a life of righteousness. We were chatting the other day, Greg, and I was saying, we need to have like a scale. How do we measure corruption in the government now? And as we're learning to release grace, what would it look like in a year's time? Do you see suddenly the government not being able to, they somehow, there's something preventing them from continuing in wickedness. And all of a sudden there's more and more. Can we see the evidence of grace? So if you want to learn how to measure the evidence of grace as we go on. Imagine now as we start to release this incredible grace of God, knowing that this is God's provision that helps us to be set free from being under the authority of the sin and finding victory so that we can now choose righteousness. We can now have a choose to do the things that God has called us to do. It sees the provision empowering us in this area. Imagine for you and I releasing grace over our family, over the body of Christ. Imagine the body of Christ beginning to experience a conviction of the Holy Spirit, making us all aware of the things in our lives that is tripping us up and causing us to stumble, that is not pleasing to God and is harmful for us. Because we're releasing grace, all of a sudden there's this shift taking place that's making the body of Christ aware that you're no longer a slave to that. Why are you battling with that addiction? Why are you battling with that area of your life? You're no longer slave. I've made provision in my Son to set you free. Take hold of that provision. And all of a sudden we start to see the body of Christ starting to rise up as children of light. You see, this is why understanding grace, to be able to pray with faith, knowing that as we speak and release what we believe, there's a shift in the atmosphere. Because the Spirit of God and the angelic army is involved in all of this. Changing atmospheres in a town that we live in. We're placed in a city, we're placed in a town, we're placed in a nation because God loves. And we have said a few Sundays back, we have said no to darkness. We have said no darkness, you have not overcome the light in Christ Jesus. We are rising up a standard and saying, no, we will now not compromise. We will now partner. We will no longer partner with darkness. We've made a decision. We've been set apart from darkness. We are a holy kingdom of people. Now we declare and we start to work for the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We make that decision. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. It's God's provision to enable us to be set free ourselves from being enslaved to sin, so that we can really begin to have authority over so much darkness, because we're no longer a slave. We're not compromising. So there's a journey for all of us. There's a journey for the body of Christ in the towns that God has placed us in and in this nation to understand the importance of the hour in knowing how to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, understanding the time, understanding the word that needs to be released so that we can really engage and pray what God is busy releasing. So in this Romans 6, we read over here, incredible, this is about having died with Christ and being raised with Him so that we can live this incredible new life. And it says over here, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. And this is the grace now. And we carry on. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. See, grace empowers us to be free from being a slave to sin. If we're battling an area in our life, simply because we do not yet know the power of this grace, we've not received it, we do not believe it, we do not believe in it, we do not believe that this grace is all powerful to help us in our areas of life. And may the Holy Spirit give insight and revelation of truth concerning this fullness of grace that comes in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, that we are able to receive because we have access. We stand in this fullness of His grace. That's our place. That's where we stay. And that's why we're learning how to appropriate what Christ has done, the power of the cross. Let me just read one more. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, 2 and 3, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. This is the grace that we're speaking about this morning. This incredible grace that empowers us to be able to experience the law of the Spirit of life. And that sets us free from the law of sin and death. We're no longer slaves to that. There's another verse I just need to read quickly here. In Hebrews, we read here in Hebrews 7 verse 23. Verse 18, concerning the old covenant, the law that was given through Moses. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. This is the new covenant. So guys, God has provided so much for you and I. And if we're honest with ourselves, let me speak about myself. As I'm honest with myself, I realize there's a lot of my life I live bypassing the grace of God. And I say no, I repent. Because I want to live in the fullness of the grace that God the Father has provided to me in His Son Jesus Christ. I want to live the fullness of what the purpose that God has for my life, all the plans that He has for me. I want to live in the fullness of that. And He's made the provision for me to live in that fullness. Likewise with each and every one of us. But faith receives. Faith believes, faith embraces and welcomes it. And we start to see the manifestation of that. So as we have the communion this morning, as we have communion this morning, it could be a good time for just to receive the provision that our Father has made through His Son Jesus Christ. Knowing that the Ten Commandments could not make me perfect. But someone came, the Son of God came as a man to live according to the high God standards of the Ten Commandments. He lived the perfect life that we could not live. And we have received the benefits of Christ because we're in Him. We receive what He has done for you and I. Maybe it's a time of prayer where you want to release grace over your family. Maybe it's a time of prayer where you want to just release, Lord, I receive your grace. I receive your grace today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to first of all thank you that long before you created mankind, we read in the scriptures where Christ was already slain before the foundation of this world. We want to thank you that long before the provision, your provision was made. And we want to thank you that a time came where that provision that was made became a reality here on this planet Earth. So we want to thank you, Father, this morning that as we just eat and celebrate the very life of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can participate this incredible grace that we have received by faith. Thank you, Father, for your generosity. Thank you for this love of yours. I want to thank you this morning, Father, that you are teaching us on how to release grace. And as we see there in Scripture, even in the greeting, sometimes you see in the Hebrew greetings where they would go and say, peace be upon you. And that peace will be upon, but if the family would not accept that, we take that peace back. It works the same with grace. And so today, Father, we want to just speak over our towns that we live in and over our nation. And we say, the grace of God be upon you. That comes in and through Jesus Christ. God's grace be with you. And we want to thank you for the manifestation of that grace. And just one aspect today of this grace where you enable people to become conscious of sin. You enable people to become conscious of what sin is. And you begin to draw them, Father, to your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to take away the sin of the world. And so we receive this grace over our nation today, and we loose this grace over our nation of South Africa in the name of Jesus Christ, where the fullness of this grace and the fullness of truth is released. And we want to thank you. Jesus, thank you that we can again just eat with you and enjoy this time. And we want to thank you for the privilege of being in you and the powerful work of atonement so that we can come and have a meal with you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we thank you for this incredible privilege and honor. Amen. Amen.